This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello, and welcome back to What's Brewing. I am your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm here for a fun little show with your calls. Coming back as promised after we did the post game from the Las Vegas Bowl starring Gronk. Which went out on your feed, I think, on Sunday afternoon sometime. Thank you very much for listening to the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network. A bunch of great shows on one great feed. There will be a Bare Minimum starring me and my daughter, Megan, talking about her days at Cal, the University of California, Berkeley. And also, there will be some West Coast bias coming up soon, I'm sure, as Jamal is still very excited about Shohei and the Lakers and all that good stuff. And who knows? Maybe we'll add another show before long. Who knows about that? But you can contact us. whatsbrewingshow@gmail.com is the email. You can get us on Twitter at whatsbrewingshow, as well as on the hotline. That's what this show's about. Your calls. 805-399-4WBS, Second Rain of Troy. I'm going to go over for a friend's mess over at their house next Friday. Very excited about that. Apparently, there's going to be a lot of board games involved, and I imagine I'll be the only one there in anything other than Cardinal and Gold, but it still should be a fun time, I imagine. You can also check the show notes for our merch page, mylocker.net/shops/whats-brewing. That's a mouthful, I know, but you can get your What's Brewing Show merch there. And you can search us up on YouTube as well, What's Brewing Show, and all the shows go up there with a slideshow. And we want to thank you for your support all year long. You can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon, patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow, or just whatsbrewingshow.com for just $2 a month. You can send the What's Brewing Show into the future. We really do appreciate your support. You also get access to the Slack channel and some extra episodes that don't go up on the public feed. You can also subscribe and get that same benefit at our Substack, whatsbrewing.substack.com. And I would like to point out that if you go to the Substack for this particular episode, I will have some photos up of us at the LA Bowl. You know, whenever I have any extra photos, I usually publish them on the Substack. So going back through this football season, there are most of the podcast articles will have a couple additional photos on there as well. So you can go there to look for that. The Substack is a little bit more expensive than the Patreon. There is a monthly and a yearly charge for that that you could pick. And however you choose to support the What's Brewing Show, we really do appreciate it, and we hope to keep on doing it as long as you guys are listening. One last thing, I do want to apologize in advance for any variable sound issues with this particular show, because I'm recording it on a variety of different mics on my way to and fro places, or parked at different desks with different microphones. So if my voice changes a little bit in relation to when I'm talking about the calls or right here at the beginning, I apologize in advance, but I'm just trying to get it done so that I can get it to you, and I hope you will forgive me. But let's get on with it. So it's the end of the football season now, and we already talked about on my postgame show, the show that went out just previously on this feed, about how even though we were happy about the LA Bowl, the overall football season was a big disappointment, and there's a lot of people that have a lot of hurt feelings about UCLA football right now, and the direction of the team and the direction of the coaching staff and the direction of the administration and all that. And I don't think I'm going to say anything that's going to make you feel any better about that, but I don't know. I don't know if I could say anything to make you feel any worse about that, so I guess we have that. I hope you had a good weekend, a pre-Christmas weekend. It was a lot of fun for me, looking on the brighter side as opposed to what's going on with UCLA football, although we did have a nice bowl game. I personally had a pretty successful weekend, and I do want to celebrate that. Number one, we'll celebrate all these with the horns, but number one, my daughter, the aforementioned Megan Merrifield, managed to drive down from UC Berkeley on the 5 freeway with a friend as her co-pilot, but she made it down, went up and over the grapevine for the first time in her college career in her own car. So good for her, Megan. We'll give you the horns. my second child, Molly, she went into her finals week. She's a senior in high school right now. She went into her finals week fearing that she might get her first C as a high school student. And we were all very, a little mystified, but apprehensive about that for her. And she ended up finishing the semester with straight A's once again. So good for her. My youngest, the man child, Malcolm, he didn't know that he was going to go to a double event, but I dragged him to the LA Bowl. And he begrudgingly had a really good time, I think. And then I made him stay around at least for the beginning of the concert at the Kia Forum right afterwards, Queens of the Stone Age. And I think he had a good time overall, and he got to eat a big slice of pizza. And it was fun to have him along. So I'll give the horns for Malcolm and his adventures. And last but not least, I'm going to give the horns for myself because this last week, Malcolm, who's been working out like a little madman, he's only 13 years old, but he's, you know, when we were at the Kia Forum and the guy was asking him how old he was, and I said 13, and the guy, you know, shook his head in disbelief. He's a real biggin' at this point and carved out of stone, apparently. But he's been working out like crazy. And however, much to his chagrin, his bench press went down 20 pounds in the last couple of weeks because he hasn't been as nose to the grindstone as he had been. So what that means for me is that staves off the inevitable, that moment when he actually becomes stronger than his old man, which I still think is a couple years off at least, but still that staves it off for at least another couple weeks after that. So a little bit of horns for me. I'm still the strongest member of the Merrifield household. So I hope you're having some successes this holiday season. We did enjoy the LA Bowl, as I mentioned in the postgame show. And we do have some calls from the postgame show and also some business that was leading into the Bruin Bowl game this last Saturday. So let's get to your calls. And once again, we want to thank you for your support and calling the hotline all season long, 805-399-4WBS, Suck It, Reign of Troy. Who is up first?
What's brewing, guys? Heading back after the LA Bowl. First of all, I just want to say, like, big congrats to this team for finally winning a bowl game after 10 years, almost a decade. Just awesome to get that win. Second of all, I want to say F you to Donkey State. Who do we say? Donkey State. Like, I freaking can't stand Boise State, so glad we beat those guys. Third, I'm sure you guys talked about this already, but, like, what the heck happened in this game? Why wasn't Ethan Garber starting? Why wasn't this our offense from day one with Harden running the ball way more than Steele all season? I mean, he looked great back there, just two touchdowns, looking phenomenal. Garber's playing all the snaps. And, like, throwing balls down the field to Ford, to J. Mike. Just this offense looked night and day different from the first half to the second half with that combo out there. I don't know why we didn't start this game with that, why we didn't start the whole season with that. I mean, just all kinds of questions coming out of this game. But super excited. Go Bruins. Get to end on a great note. So, feeling good about that. Hey, I'll take a win. I'll take a bowl win. I know it was meaningless. I'm sure people will say, like, boo-boo, fire Chip. And, yes, I'm sure Chip needs to go still. I'm definitely on board with that. But, like, hey, I'm excited for another UCLA football game and a win to end on a good note. So, all right, guys, have a great holidays. Happy New Year, and go Bruins.
Awesome. No, that's a great call to get us started. And I agree with you. It was a great win. How excited I get over the first Bruin Bowl game victory in like 10 years. That just goes back to all the terrible BBS and baggage I have with Bruin Bowl games in my history as a Bruin fan. There's been a lot of bad times. So that's why, you know, I can look at this game and be just kind of unreservedly happy with the outcome of it. And it was a good time. And you are right to point out, like, what the heck was up with the Garber situation? They're saying that he held himself out, according to Chip and him. I don't know if that quite washes, but whatever. All is well that ends well. We're happy about TJ Harden having a great time out there. I still wonder what happened to Carson Steele, but all is well that ends well. And yeah, I mean, regardless of how you feel about anything surrounding the program, this particular game on this particular day was a lot of fun. So thank you very much. That was awesome, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you got to get down there. You're better than Bill, who said he was going to go to the LA Bowl a million times, but then when it actually happens, No, typical. But next, I have a special public service announcement for you.
So politeness is etiquette. It's manners. It's external. It's technique. It's behavior. Whereas civility is internal. It's a disposition of the heart. It's a way of seeing others as our moral equals who are worthy of a bare minimum of respect just by virtue of our shared moral status as members of the human community. And that crucially, sometimes actually respecting others, sometimes actually respecting ourselves requires being impolite. It requires saying no without apology. It requires telling hard truths. It requires engaging in robust debate. That these are things that make us and others uncomfortable because, like, we feel this deep pressure to please others and to, you know, not ruffle feathers. And yet, this is actually a way of truly respecting ourselves and of respecting others, saying, you know, I respect myself enough to set a healthy boundary or to speak up when I might otherwise want to stay silent. Or I respect someone else enough not to pretend a difference doesn't exist when it does, but I respect the other enough to say, I respect your ideas and I'm going to tell you when I might disagree with you. Like, that's actually a form of respecting others. And today, too often, disagreement is interpreted as, like, you know, tantamount to a declaration of war.
Yeah, well, it's harmful. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not the case. It's actually a way of loving, actually respecting others.
So that clip, sorry, it is a little lengthy, but that clip is from the latest Unspeakable podcast hosted by Megan Dalm, who is a longtime writer, columnist based out of LA and New York. And I'm a big fan of all of her work. And that was a guest that she had on talking about the importance of keeping civility. And the guest she had on that was speaking about civility was Alexander Hudson, who wrote a book on the subject. So, you know, I thought they're talking about actual real world stuff, you know, stuff that's important. But the same lesson could also apply to sports talk and how we feel about our teams and how we discuss things with fellow fans and fellow commentators. And gee whiz, everyone knows how much fun it is to talk trash to rivals and whatnot. But would you rather be friends with people like Raina Troy and talk a lot of trash? Or do you want to let it devolve into stabbing someone in the eye on the golf course at the Rose Bowl before the Crosstown Showdown? Right? That's the extreme where the lack of civility can lead to. So let's try to stay away from that. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now. What's next?
Hey guys, it's Diego. Wrapping it up for the year on the football side. Good win last night at SoFi. I was there with my family. Great stadium. If anybody has a chance to go for whatever event, you should go just to see the place. It's just a lot of fun. Couple of points. One, first one would be on the state of our Bruin media coverage. It's terrible. Mike, close your ears. You don't want to hear this.
All right. So right here, Diego has a lot of very strong opinions about some of the other outlets that are out there that you may listen to or you may not listen to, and you may have your own strong opinions about. I know certainly that I do. And however, for the sake of diplomacy and also just recognizing the rule of, you know, if you don't have anything nice, don't say it at all. And which I will point out rather ironically and confessionally, as sports fans, we don't follow this rule nearly as much as we should. Oftentimes, we just much rather unload both barrels on subjects like Chip Kelly, Martin Jarmon, UC Athletics in general, sports in general, the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Kings, the Ducks, the whatevers, right? We don't always follow this rule, especially not in sports talk. It's not really a principle of sports talk. However, in this particular instance, I will exercise that clause and just skip to the nice things Diego had to say about us. Gosh, I love Diego.
Which leaves basically in my universe, you guys. And I applaud you for keeping a forum available. You don't all agree on every point, so congratulations. I consider myself a fan, and I see you guys as the best media outlet for the Bruins going forward. I'd like to see you guys promote the men of Westwood a little more. I think the way college football is, that's the future. You can take it or leave it. You can like it or dislike it. You can whine and complain. It doesn't matter. The teams that have the most money are going to get the best players over time, and they're going to be the most successful. So if you want UCLA football to be successful, bite your lip and kick in a few bucks to the collective, and you'll be doing something positive. To complain and whine without doing that, you're just making noise. You're not really putting your money where your mouth is. Secondly, the season could be seen in microcosm last night. We had a quarterback change. We had a completely different team. So when you look back through our schedule this year, you'll see that all of the fluctuation in our results, including the ASU and Cal games, which were bitterly disappointing, there's no getting around that, were all caused by third-string quarterback play when we should have been using our first-string quarterback. So that's a coaching mistake. I put that on Chip. But nonetheless, the lesson has been learned. And you can see we have a good program. We have a good team. We have a good program. We just had some quarterback troubles this year, and that's really the story of our season. So on to next year. Let's get some good talent in the portal and go Bruins. Guys, have a good holiday. Bye.
First and foremost, I want to thank David for calling. You have been one of our best callers all year long, and I hope you continue to follow us in the off season and come back to us when the football season starts next year when we go to the Big Ten. And this goes for everybody, but if anybody's ever out at a game and you want to swing by and say hi, let me know. I'd love to meet you guys out there and chop it up a little bit about UCLA football and how you guys are doing. So Diego had some very, very pointed comments about the state of UCLA media. And as I said earlier, I had to excise them a little bit just because I'm not in the business of stirring the pot or calling others out for the work that they do necessarily. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And you can infer what you want about what Diego had to say about the different UCLA media outlets. And that's okay, right? We're all entitled to our opinions, and we all choose what we listen to and what we are going to choose not to listen to or engage in. And that's okay. But what I will accept without any reservations is Diego's praise of us. Thank you very much. I do think our ability to have a relatively civil discussion revolving around UCLA athletics is a strength of our show, and allowing you guys to kind of say what you guys want to say, whatever it is that you want to say, is also something that is a goal for us. So that's going to be something that we continue to keep on doing. And I think it is important. And honestly, like when we get into the end of the year and how down we were on what the product on the field was, I do feel like we got a little bit away from that. But, you know, a little bit of this is just kind of releasing our inner feelings about, you know, this event that we pour so much of our heart into week to week. And that is, you know, watching the Bruins go out there and play football. So, you know, sometimes we're going to come up a little bit short as to what we actually present. But that's why when we're all feeling after they lose to Arizona State, and obviously it's an inexplicable result and there really is no excuse for it. You know, I just didn't want to get on there and have just a normal call-in show where people are just yelling fire Kelly and fire Germán and all that stuff. I mean, that doesn't do it for me either. And I would much rather lean fully into it and go full apocalypse. Let's go. Shame, shame, shame. And have some fun with it. And that's what I tried to do. And hopefully I didn't go too far down the rabbit hole on that one. And we were able to kind of bring it back to some normality and insanity. But regardless, you know, we appreciate all of your calls, no matter what you have to say. That's one of the things that makes you want to keep doing the show. So as much as we can continue that, thank you for your engagement. As far as the football goes, I think I said this during my post-game show, you know, a couple of days ago, and that is, I still will, you know, if you go through the decision process and how they went from Garbers to Moore, back to Garbers, and then, you know, quarterback du jour based on injury towards the end of the season, you know, it all goes back to the Dante Moore coming to Westwood. It all kind of gets twisted from there. And if they don't get Dante Moore, I think this season turns out completely different. Honestly, like the feeling behind the season is completely different. Now, you don't have any control over who gets hurt, who doesn't get hurt, but I just feel like that is where the kind of the nexus point was. And with that being said, if I went back and made all these decisions over again, if I were in control of it, I don't think I would have made different decisions as far as when you have Garbers and Moore in a competition at the beginning of the season. It was obvious that Moore was the better quarterback right then and there. Now, it didn't turn out that way, but that's what it looked like, right? Because Ethan was tight, Moore wasn't. He kind of let it all hang out, and he earned that spot. But then we get to Pac-12 play. He wasn't ready, obviously. And then switching back to Garbers, like, that's a defensible decision, and I understand why it was made. But from there, it was kind of like it was already a little bit too far gone. You know, you get that Utah win. Maybe you're on the road and you're more competitive against Oregon State with Ethan Garbers, and I think that's all very, very likely. But it wasn't to be, you know. It's kind of like we just took Cal's field goal kicker. Yay. I'm very excited. I wish we would have done that before the season, right? Do you think a few more field goals would have made a difference on this team? I think it would have. Reliability and confidence in a field goal kicker would have made a difference on this team? I think it would have. Sheesh. Everything about this year was a little just the sequence and the timing was off. And sometimes that's how it is. You know, that we'll look back in the season and Jesus like be like, man, that could have been a good one. But it turns out it was just meh. But Diego, thank you very much for calling. And like I said, I hope you stick with us and I hope you all do. And thank you very much, everybody, for all of your calls. Oh, one other thing I wanted to get to in response to what Diego was saying and what's been just swirling around college football lately is just the idea that we need to spend more money on Men of Westwood just as Bruins, or just as football programs across the country need to put more into NIL to bring in the recruits and yada, yada, yada. And I completely understand the math of that. And I think what Diego is saying is true to a degree, right? However, I don't know. I just, everybody I talk to and everybody I listen to as well, it just seems like this is an unsustainable bit. And maybe this is this window where it is kind of like the Wild West and the teams that get the most money can directly pay the players through NIL. And there's this window where you can just like cash in big right now, right here and right now. But I don't know if that's how it's going to stay. It doesn't seem like that's a real workable solution to me. And also I just, you know, no matter how good I want the Bruins to be and I want them competing for conference titles, there's no, I already said that, right? I don't know how sustainable it is for any team other than the Alabamas and the Ohio States and those type of teams to spend on recruits that have never even played a down of college football. And just sticking to the principle of the matter, that doesn't seem like the best strategy to me either. I would much rather, and I think I said this a few days ago, I think UCLA has plenty of advantages that lend itself to getting good recruits outside of the bounds of NIL. And I think obviously you have to like mark exceptions for like quarterbacks, maybe offensive tackles or something like that, right? Your big, super bona fide five-star locks, which by the way, I'm not sure UCLA should be in the business of going after anyway, because they always seem to not work out. Hey, Mike, where are you? But I think there are so many kids out there that can play college football at a high level. And I think that one of the strengths that Chip Kelly has is guys that come into this program generally get better at playing football while they're here, Dante Moore, more excluded, or maybe being the exception that proves a rule. But I still think that if UCLA and Chip Kelly or whoever the coach is would just recruit at a normal level, recruit to the strengths of what UCLA is, there's enough talent across the country, I think, to field a team that is plenty good and that is able to compete. And then once you get them in here and you turn these guys into players, then I think it's absolutely, and this is where my vision and Diego's vision, I think, cross over. You absolutely need money in the program, contributing to Men of Westwood or however it is, whatever the system will be, money in the program to hold on to players. To me, that's where I think the NIL should be going. You bring guys in, they prove it on the field, even if it's just 1 year, you can see the talent, it translates, and then you lock them in and try to keep them here in Westwood for as long as they're going to play college football. To me, that is the way to go. I hope that's what it turns into. And also, I hope that you can bring in a coach, have them have a good year, and not instantly lose them to a crosstown rival that's in the same conference as you and that presumably is getting the same network paychecks that you are. That still is just disgraceful, but I digress. All right, what do we have next? And thank you once again, Diego.
What's brewing? News.
Breaking news.
On a weekly basis.
News just in.
All right, as I mentioned before, there is huge, 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 huge breaking news, and that is that UCLA has landed their next field goal kicker. Giving you a little bit of extra horns there. But you might look at this at first glance. Oh, but first of the news, I forgot to give the guy's name. So this apparently is just another player coming down the 5 freeway in the Cal to UCLA pipeline. Of course, last year we got J. Mike and Oladejo in the transfer portal from the Cal Golden Bears. Suck it, Cal. And now this year, already committed. This is the tweet. First of all, I would like to thank head coach Chip Kelly, Coach Nudo, Coach Schiffers, Ethan Young for this amazing opportunity. After lots of consideration, I am excited to announce my commitment to UCLA football. And that is from Mateen Bagani, kicker of the Cal Golden Bears. No more. Now he is a UCLA Bruin Bear. And we welcome him to Westwood. Now, at first glance, you might not think this is that big of a deal because, as we know, it's well documented, UCLA under 50% on field goal kicking this last season, ended up 47.1% on 8 for 17 kicking. It was very, 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 very bad. Just a shame. RJ Lopez, Glessner could not get it done, and it was just a repeated point of failure throughout the season. So what did the Bruins go out and do? They go out. They had the 12th best kicking game in the Pac-12. They go get the kicker from the team that had the 11th best kicking game in the Pac-12. Moving up one step, one rung on the ladder, right? Rome wasn't built in a day. They have moved up. Something to celebrate, right? Because Cal was not 47% from field goal range. They were 61.1%. That's a whole like 14 percentage point difference. They were not 8 for 17 like the Bruins. They were 11 for 18. Much better. Well, not that much better. So, you know, at first you might say, oh, big deal. They went and stole the kicker from a team that had almost as crappy of a kicking game as they do. Yikes. Sheesh. That's not going to make things much better. However, if you actually look at how Mr. Bateen actually kicked, you know, Cal football had that horrible ranking on field goal kicks because they opened the season 3 for 9. Whoever their field goal kicker was at the beginning of the season in their non-conference games against North Texas, Auburn, and Idaho, they went 3 for 9. That's 1 for 3 in the first game, 1 for 4 against Auburn. That's why they lost that goddamn game. They should have beat Auburn. And 1 for 2 against Idaho. However, from that point in the season, young Mateen Bagani comes onto the field for the Golden Bears. He did not play in games 1, 2, or 3. And he ends up going 8 for 9 in conference play. Let's hear it.
Go Bruins! Let's get an 8-clap.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
I know it's early, but right here, right now, I'm telling you, one of my magic men for the 2024 UCLA football season, the first in the Big Ten, is going to be none other than Mateen Bagani. He's number 49 right now. I don't know what he'll end up as a Bruin, but welcome to UCLA football. We desperately needed you. All right, let's get to another call.
Hi, what's Bruin Show? This is Carrie. I am very happy that the Bruins were able to pull off a win. I'm really happy for the players, especially the seniors. It was so nice to see Latu there. Just happy for those guys. I think Schley actually played his best game, but I don't think they would have won the game had it not been for Garbers. So I'm curious about the backup quarterback situation. Would have loved to see Chase in there for his final year, at least some snaps. But I'm hoping there's a good, you know, backup quarterback next season. The men's basketball game. I see a lot of posts just hating on this men's basketball team, but I see a lot of potential there. I think they're just trying to find their identity and figure it out. I think they will, and I hope they get into the tournament. But it was obviously a loss, but I still see them being competitive, and just they need that lot, put those last pieces together, and I think they'll be all right. So, yeah, I hope you guys had a good time either at the game or watching the game, and thanks so much for your show. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Go Bruins.
It is so great to hear from you, Carrie, yet again. Thank you very much. You've been one of the new contributors to the show this year, and we always love hearing your voice. With that being said, yeah, I kind of agree with you that I think they would have, I don't know. I don't know if they would have lost the game if Schley would have kept playing. He had driven him down inside the red zone with that other big run, and I kind of feel like it certainly went up for grabs. Let's put it that way. I would not have been surprised if the Bruins would have gone on to lose that bowl game, but I also wouldn't have been surprised if they had like grinded out a win, you know, something like in the, you know, 20-20, you know, 21-20 range or something like that. Boise State still battling, but the Bruins just kind of grinded out. And either way, it's obvious who the best Bruin quarterback was this season. And, you know, it's completely what could have been if we would have had Garbers for the entire season as the unquestioned starting quarterback, right? So, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing to go back and say you know, in second guessing, it doesn't do any good. It just is what it is. So we look forward to next year. Hopefully the Bruin quarterback situation is solidified. Hopefully Garbers will have somebody to throw the ball to, right? And if you're telling me that they're going to have Kyle Ford, Jim Sturdivant, and Habermill back as the base for that, I'd say I think they're in pretty good shape right there, right? And if you tell me TJ Harden's back, I think they're in pretty good shape there too, right? So it looks like, you know, there is every reason to believe that going to Big Ten play next year, regardless of what their record is or how they do in the actual games, because we have to think about the defense and the special teams and all that stuff. But they just bolstered their special teams today or yesterday with a transfer portal recruit I'll get to in a few minutes. But regardless of how you feel about the UCLA administration or Chip Kelly as the head coach or all those things, they're probably going to be much better on offense next year just by default. And if, you know, it kind of goes back to what we've been saying the years before this year, it's like if they can just scrounge together a defense, they'll probably be all right, you know? Now, that's the question. Is all right good enough for us as Bruin fans? Are we ready to say, oh, you know what, let's just, you know, not try to recruit any good players and let's just kind of, you know, stay in our lane and accept 8 wins in a bowl game every year, and that's what the fate of UCLA football will be. I don't think that – I know I'm not happy with that. I want the Bruins. I really, honestly, I said it a couple of days ago, I could care less about the playoff and the national championship. I as long as I've been a Bruin fan, I've never really cared about that because it's something that's kind of, I think, silly to shoot for, and it's something that – you know, so many circumstances have to go right that I'm not going to worry about that until the team is actually there, right? I'm not going to spend any time contemplating it at this point. But I want the Bruins' goal to always be trying to win the conference that they're in. Now, that conference should be the Pac-12. Unfortunately, that's gone the way of the dodo. So now it's the Big Ten. So I know there's a lot of big guns, a lot of big shiny things out there in the Big Ten. And that's a long hill to climb. But if UCLA is not shooting to win the Big Ten, then I am disappointed with their expectations. And that's, I think, really where most of my concern about the state of the program is. Although I could be convinced the other way. So, Carrie, thank you very much for calling. Oh, by the way, as far as the basketball team goes, I hopefully will be coming to you with more basketball content, but I'm actually going to see the Bruins play the Matadors tonight. So maybe I'll have some thoughts of my own about the basketball team coming out of tonight. So we will have to see. But thank you very much, Carrie, for calling all year long. It was wonderful. I know you made Nancy less lonely as one of the only female contributors. So I know that's a good thing. So thank you very much, and I hope we hear again from you very soon.
What's brewing? News.
Breaking news on a weekly basis.
News just in.
So it looks like Dante Morris found a new home, which is an old home. Not quite a home. He was committed there and then he decided to come to UCLA. But Dante Morris is going to be an Oregon Duck a year late, I guess. He came to UCLA and it was kind of a coup. And it didn't turn out the way anybody wanted to, I don't think. Sure did start with some promise those first 3 games and then trailed off from there. But he will be packing up and heading up north. Doesn't look like it had anything to do with being homesick because he will still not be anywhere near the state of Michigan. But that's okay. We wish him good luck. He wanted to be developed, and I guess there's no better place to get developed than Oregon, where they underdeveloped Justin Herbert and then went and rented quarterbacks the last few years. So I guess that's how it's going to go. But probably more like it is he decided he wanted to go to a place that had a bunch of big giant 4 or 5-star offensive linemen that will prevent him from getting his head turned into a canoe every 5 snaps. All right. So all things being equal, it looks like it was a mistake for UCLA to give him any money. It looks like it was a mistake for him to come to Westwood. And maybe that is now rectified. So good luck in the future, Dante. Obviously, when the Bruins play him, we'll be hoping he gets knocked around some more. But other than that, we wish him all the success in the world, I guess. Or at least that's what we're supposed to say. But we have some more breaking news regarding Dante Moore. And with that, I'll hand it over to Benton.
Hello, Mr. Benton.
What's brewing? News, 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 news. Breaking news on a weekly basis. News just in. We have reports that Andrea True Connections more drop has entered the What's Brewin' drop portal. Rumors are that Andrea True Connection more drop is ready to drop Dante Moore as he is leaving the Bruins and is ready to join West Coast Bias for Thousand Oaks native Trevor Moore. More to come.
Yes, thank you for that, Benton. I think I do have to admit that of all the things about Dante Moore leaving that I will miss the most, I think it's the drops. We are losing more. How do you like it? But I do like Ben's idea of transferring it over to West Coast Bias. Although I don't know how much we actually will be able to use it, but I guess that will depend on Jamal. But to finally answer the question that I posed in the offseason, and that is, do you want more? I guess we can definitively say not anymore. Thank you, Mr. Benton.
Hello, Mr. Benton.
Okay, one of the last little bits I want to get to right now is just another bit of news near and dear to our hearts that made it into the regular media at large. This is a clip from a Ringer podcast called The Town, which covers media news, you know, like streaming and Netflix and why doesn't Paramount Plus Fold and all those other things like that. But guess what? They covered something really important to us in their episode, Biggest Debacles of 2023. Get a load of this.
Let's move on. This is my favorite category. This is the underrated disaster of the year.
I'm venturing into sports for this one, to okay, something near and dear to my heart. We'll just say the Pac-12 as the underrated disaster of the year.
You know what? Like, okay, for that is not underrated in my world. It's something I bitch about constantly to my college friends.
So for those who haven't paid that close attention, we're at this moment where even if the market for sports rights is plateauing a little bit or is not as crazy as it was a couple of years ago, you know, the big college sports leagues, can get huge deals. You know, the SEC, Big Ten, even Big 12 have done really well. And the Pac-12, which has a couple of the best sports colleges in the country and many top ones.
I mean, this season they had like six teams in the top 25 at one point.
For a while. They completely screwed up its negotiations. So much so that the league will cease to exist because USC and UCLA are going to the Big 10, which should really be called the Big 20 at this point. And then you've got other schools going to the ACC, and you've got only three or four schools left in the original Pac-12. Around, and it's just
I believe Washington State and Oregon State.
Yes, it's two teams, and they're going to have to like align with some other Mountain West
just
or something.
A really crazy indictment of the job done by the Pac-12 commissioners that you have the conference representing the West Coast, which produces the highest share of the top athletes in many, many sports. And they couldn't even figure out how to sustain themselves.
It really is an embarrassment. And everyone involved should be ashamed of themselves and never work in this business again. I agree.
That really does say it all. Like, just what an embarrassment the Pac-12 turned out to be at the end. You know, at first, for the last, like, you know, 30 years, they were just horribly incapable, just like all the rest of the conferences were horribly incapable. But then the SEC, the Big Ten, they got it together, and it was survival of the fittest. Big 12 survive, but not our wonderful Pac-12. Rest in peace. All right, I know this has been a weird show, but the last thing I have for you is a little bit of traffic advice for the holiday season.
I mean, just more gobbledygook from the sheriff. They kick out. Fight!
All right, now it's time for our traffic tip of the week. It is the holiday season. There's a lot of people flooding into the malls right now. You may be, you know, on one hand, traffic will lighten up for those of us that have the weekly commute because those schools are out of session, and that's just a wonderful blessing for all of us. We can get around the city more efficiently during, you know, rush hour traffic in the morning and in the evening. But that is a good thing. However, this being, you know, December and everybody, you know, even though a lot of people do their shopping on Amazon now, there still are very packed streets on the weekends. So with that in mind, I have a traffic reminder for you as you're trying to navigate through the city. Please, 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 under no circumstances, do not give up your right-of-way when you're making a right turn or proceeding through an intersection to people that are making left turns. It doesn't help anybody, and it's just going to cause an accident. So if you're driving through an intersection or you're about to make a right into a parking lot or something, and there is a person waiting to make a left turn on the opposite side of the intersection,
don't yield to them. They're just waiting for you. And if you slow down and try to wave them through, well, you might open yourself up to getting rear-ended, or you might open themselves up into getting halfway through the intersection and stopping because they realize you're not going to go and having this confusing moment. And then all of a sudden they get smashed by somebody going through the intersection beside you. So don't give up your right-of-way to people making left turns. Now, that doesn't mean that if someone seizes the right of way from you, that you shouldn't drive defensively and slow down or stop or whatever. You know, generally, when that happens, it's some douchebag in a BMW or a Mercedes or a Tesla, especially Teslas, driving like an a-hole and trying to jump a light and make a left turn in front of traffic or something. Those people are just a-holes, and eventually they will get their just desserts. Something will happen, or someone will slash their tires, or they'll be in an accident. And it's very sad, but eventually, you know, karma will catch up with them. What I am saying is don't actively give up your right of way during normal traffic when people are just trying to do the right thing and follow the rules of traffic, because that's what the rule of traffic is. You're supposed to proceed. The left turn goes after you. Okay? That's really it. The only exception I can think of to this is if you're like somewhere in the middle of a street, you know, not at an intersection, and there's like those little keep clear signs on the ground. Yeah, you should keep those clear so that people can make left turns when it's very, very congested. But other than that, do not yield to people making left turns. It's just going to complicate things, confuse things, and cause an accident. Good luck and safe travels. That was your 2023 holiday season traffic tip of the week. Thank you.
Thank you, Officer Brainfart.
All right, well, that's going to do it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It took probably a little bit longer to put together than I thought it was going to take. But there's a lot of clips and moving stuff around and doing all that stuff, but you don't care about that. But it is over 40 minutes at this point, so that's pretty crazy. That's not what I envisioned it to be. But thank you very much for all of you calling in. Thank you very much for your support all year long during the football season. I am sad it's over, but the 2023 UCLA football season is now done. And we can look forward to the rest of basketball season, the women's basketball team, all the rest of the Bruin sports in the spring and the winter. And of course, all that means for me is I'm waiting desperately for the fall when UCLA football starts once again, because that's what's nearest and dear to my heart. But thank you very much. Email the show, whatsbruinshow@gmail.com. Thank you very much for your support on Patreon and on the Substack. Keep it all that going. I'm sure we'll come back to you with some sort of summary over signing day, which may or may not be a big deal for UCLA. But we'll get to all that. There's plenty of time now to talk about the offseason, because it's just started. So until next time, happy holidays. Hope you really enjoy this time of year. I know I do. We'll see you next time, and go Bruins.
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got it.
That was the What's Bruin Show.
Highest tomorrow. Same bat time. Same bat channel.
It's got to be in and out, Mom. In and out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, Rob, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.